It pleases the court, I'm Steve Hodges from Abingdon, representing Dominion Power. I know you've seen briefs in the case, and there's something puzzling about the case right at the outset that I ask you to step back and take a look at for the whole issue. We have a gentleman here who owned this land in Wise County. Years ago, he agreed to let two power companies build power lines. This is only one of them. There was another one who went up right before this one, parallel to it. Obviously, he didn't object to the construction of the lines. He litigated actively for years the question of just compensation. You want to be paid. My client, Dominion, wants him to be paid, trying to get to that point. After 2.5 years of active litigation, he filed a motion to dismiss the case, which was his only vehicle to get paid, which seems to us was his goal, his stated goal, when he was deposed. So if the case comes to you in a peculiar posture in that regard, Your Honor, I'd like to reserve 2 minutes. I should have said that at the outset. Right. Of course, the dismissal flows from the court's finding that there was no bona fide offer made prior to the litigation. That is a statutory requirement. The courts must enforce it. There's no issue about that. This court has long since dealt with the question of what does that mean? What is bona fide offer? Well, it means good faith.
And that's a factual finding, correct?
Pardon?
Good faith is a factual finding.
Well, yes, it could be a factual finding.
Well, we've said that as much.
Well, Your Honor, you've also said that when a party engages a qualified real estate appraiser and uses that...
But the mere credentialing of somebody... Why would that axiomatically mean good faith? I mean, we credential lawyers, but lawyers can evince bad faith.
Well, I would argue with respect that it should. As a practical matter, it should. Your Honor, put this bona fide offer issue in context. This has the potential, as this case demonstrates, to take over a big chunk of the litigation about just compensation. There has to be a bona fide offer, but if the courts, the trial courts, and eventually this court are dragged down case after case in issues of this sort where somebody has hired a Virginia licensed appraiser, that appraiser has gone out...
But there's all this coal... I mean, there was a coal mine at one time. He's getting royalty payments, and as I understand it, the appraiser simply went right past all of that and just said, oh, well, you would just have a farm on there or residences.
Your Honor, there was no coal mine that was visible. The only
thing... But he was aware of the coal presence and so on.
Absolutely, Your Honor. There's not everywhere. It's not just on this track. It's for miles in every direction. And so when you go out and do a comparable analysis, which these appraisers do under the conventions of their trade, you go and find all kinds of land that's been traded that has coal reserves on it. That's not a coal mine. There wasn't any coal mine here. Now, there had been some mining underground. I grant you that.
What about the royalties? I mean, that counts for something.
Well, yes, but it was not in a mining use. And the case of being made in this case was for service mining. The damages that they want, these big numbers they're putting up on the board, was a completely designed service mine with all the bells and whistles that was created and designed on paper after this condemnation case came. So we say this was a bona fide offer. We commend to the court a black and white rule, certainty of the law. If a condemning authority goes out and gets a Virginia licensed appraiser, and that appraiser appraises the property at X, and the condemning authority offers X, we ask, without apology, that that be a bright line for safe harbor as far as bona fide offers are concerned.
Hypothetically, this is not your case. Dominion gets an appraiser who has been licensed for 1 year and has never appraised anything other than residences in land unit developments in Fairfax County. That licensed Virginia appraiser comes out to this property, makes an offer, and makes an evaluation. Your rule would require that to be bona fide.
Yes.
Okay. Let me go one step further. We're going to go down the slippery slope. An appraiser who has never made an appraisal as a licensed appraiser and comes out there on the day that he is licensed, having never done anything related to raw land, anything related to utility easements, anything related to coal, this is his first job. Still bona fide?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure where the slope ends. Yes. You told us.
Well, Your Honor, remember his method is to go and find other similar land in the area and see what it has sold for. That's the comparable sales. I know you're familiar with this. There's land all over the place that has coal on. Gets sold like all other land.
It's not in Fairfax County that I'm talking about.
I'm talking about in this case.
I understand.
And I'm also, I am suggesting that all of these issues are legitimate for attacks on this person at the trial of just compensation. Have at it. That's grist for the mill. But are we going to do, as the trial court did in this case, essentially set this up as a pre-trial major issue?
But will most folks even want to litigate that? They just want to get paid. So and maybe what makes it unique is that this, for whatever reason, Mr. Hilden decided to try to kick you out of court on this good faith basis, but for most folks, they're just going to pound away with their own expert and so on and just try to get paid, right? So how much of a problem is this likely to be?
When they read this case, they're going to spend a lot of money, and on the eve of trial, not literally the eve, a few weeks before trial, they're going to move to dismiss, and they're going to have hundreds of thousands of dollars claimed for attorney's fees.
Well, that's a separate issue.
That's what you would get out of this case to this point. That's what you could do. I don't like the jury. Well, let's blow the trial here. Let's end the trial. We've seen this case about.
But there has to be evidence of that. I mean, the trial court isn't. If it's a factual finding, the trial court's not necessarily going to buy the argument that. I mean, you can always say, "Oh, it's in bad faith," but then you have to win on that. You have to persuade the trial court that indeed it is in bad faith.
Well, the only evidence they had that it was in bad faith was the report of the appraiser. And of course, he didn't mention that Mr. Hilton mentioned coal. He didn't mention that there. The appraiser found that the highest and best use was rural, residential, and agriculture. They don't agree with that. Mr. Hilton didn't agree with it. That's the use it was in at the time. It had trees on it. It had pasture land around the neighborhood. In the neighborhood, that's what you see.
But, I mean, you could make an offer with a licensed appraiser that's so paltry and ridiculous and so low ball. I mean, I understand you don't want to, you know, you want to save your client money and all that, but at some point, don't we cross the line into the beyond good faith and into the ridiculous? I'm not asking you to concede that's this case, but if we just say appraiser, license, end of story, doesn't that incentivize, you know, gamesmanship and ridiculous offers? And we can't police that at that point.
I don't think you need to police it at that point in this type of case, Your Honor. I think it can be, of course, this transitions into our second point that this was not brought on for hearing. We say it's not improperly raised in the pleadings, and you've seen the amorphous nature of the pleadings where jurisdiction was conceded, all preliminaries were conceded, all statutory requirements were conceded, and then we get this little statement that the offer was insufficient.
May I interrupt you with this question? Where does this case go? Create a flow chart if we were to affirm or reverse. What happens to the property? What happens to the condemnation, the towers, etc.?
It's dismissed, Your Honor. If you affirm it, we start from day one. There'll be a new offer. I don't know whether there'll be a new appraisal, or whether there'll be a new offer, which may be rejected. Or it may be vaguely objected to in the pleading. The whole thing could play out again. And we'll have to have it worked up from day one as a brand new condemnation case. We're already 6 years into this process.
Well, is there any additional liability exposure other than the transactional cost of going through the drill twice?
Any other exposure?
I mean, is there any liability other than simply the inverse the condemnation award and the fees that attach to that?
None that I know of, Your Honor. You might notice in one of the briefs here it was asserted this is a trespass. We don't know what that's about. Never been suggested before. And Mr. Hilton gave permission for the entry way back in 2009. So we built the thing and he didn't object to it going up. I don't think that could be an
adjustment. Counsel, do we have to agree with you and adopt this bright line rule with regard to licensed appraisals in order for you to prevail on the first assignment of
No, ma'am. I'm suggesting that you do that for certainty in the law in cases of this sort, but you don't. It's our argument that this was a bona fide offer based on this appraisal. The fact that this appraiser forms some conclusions that can be attacked, and I submit to you they can always be attacked, that's true, does not render this not bona fide.
Well, under the standard of review, isn't it, you ever have pretty high hurdle to cross on that, because isn't it basically a matter of fact, as has been mentioned? And isn't the trial judge's decision on that, there has to be no evidence to support that in order to rule with you?
Well, Your Honor, in other cases that have come before this court on undisputed evidentiary facts, you've made legal rulings, and I submit that that's done all the time by the court. If there's a dispute in the evidence as to the facts, that's different. But he took a set of facts, which are undisputed here, and made a certain legal ruling, which we say is error.
So you say it's a matter of law. We review it de novo. Is that what you're saying?
Review what?
We review this de novo.
You review his ruling that it was made in bad faith.
De novo.
De novo on the undisputed facts. I've run out of time, but this...
You have plenty of time. You have 2 minutes, 33 seconds left. Right. Do you want to reserve it?
Well, I'll quickly move here. The big point I wanted to get to was a rather dramatic...
Now, you really, I don't want to mislead you. When that thing hits red, your time is up, including your rebuttal.
I understand.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to mention, because time is short, the chronology of this case and what happened, and how long it took Mr. Hilton to bring this issue about the bona fide offer before the court. And not only is that not allowed just in general litigation, as you know, we have a statute in this particular area of the law that requires these things to be brought forth and adjudicated before the case is set for trial on just compensation. Chauvin did all sorts of things. Withdrew money, asked the court to set the case, filed precipice, never mentioned it until 28 months into the litigation and about 5 weeks before we come to trial. I reserve it.
You have a minute 36 left.
May it please the court, good morning. I'm Monica Monday and I represent Walter Hilton. Eminent domain is a very powerful tool. It permits the government and others to take someone's property, and all the property owner can demand are the procedural protections and just compensation that are guaranteed by statute. At the heart of that statutory scheme is the bona fide offer, and it ensures both protections to the landowner. The purpose is to require a condemnor to make a fair offer, so there will not need to be litigation. There will not need to be cost and frustration to the property owner.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yes, Your Honor.
That last statement is the part that confuses me about this case. There is no requirement to make a fair offer. The requirement is to have good faith. You can be badly wrong on evaluation. That's objectively unfair. And everyone agrees. I just think it can't possibly be worth that. But bad faith is ill will. It's malice. It's wanting to harm someone in a way that the law cannot tolerate. So isn't there a difference between an appraiser being badly wrong and thus coming up with an unfair number, objectively, and subjective bad faith? And again, it's bad faith not of the appraiser, it's bad faith, unless it's imputed, of Dominion. So can you help me understand those two poles?
Yes, Your Honor, and there has been an issue that has been briefed about whether this is an objective or subjective standard. Given the dramatic consequences to the property owner, given the importance of a bona fide offer, and also considering the fact that these statutes must be construed against the condemnor to protect the condemnee, it should be an objective measure. It should be one that this court can measure and that a trial court has a right to inquire about on its own. If it were purely subjective on the part of the condemnor, then there would never be bad faith because the condemnor would always say, as they have in this case, well, we thought it was in good faith.
Not necessarily. You can see evidence where people are manipulating negotiations. I mean, when you're settling cases, you can see evidence of this and doing things that have no purpose other than to stall and delay. And you can infer subjective bad faith.
And, Your Honor, the bad faith here is really evident in the fact that the appraiser, who is Dominion's agent, and therefore knowledge is imputed, completely ignored the coal, took Hamlet out of the play. He admitted that he knew that there was coal on the property because Mr. Hilton told him so. And yet he admitted, and the record reflects, that he did not consider the coal. And this became critically important and evident when we took the deposition of Dominion's mining expert, who came in later in the case. And that expert said, yes, because of the concrete towers, Hilton, that you cannot mine the coal that's underneath the towers, and estimated that to be about 36,000 tons, worth about $85,000. So this is Dominion's own agent contradicting its own appraiser. Now, how did the appraiser mess up? The appraiser messed up for several reasons. First, he admitted in his deposition that he never even looked at Dominion's plans. He never looked at the survey. He
Ms.
didn't
Mundy,
look at the
but
structure.
Do we have any case on the books that equates what perhaps might be an incompetent appraiser with bad faith?
That issue has not been before the court yet, Your Honor.
The extent, as Justice Kelsey said, bad faith would imply some ill will or some ill motive, when would we ever say you were incompetent and therefore you acted with ill motive?
Your Honor, first of all, we do not believe at all that ill will should be the proper measure for whether there is a bona fide offer. And this court has said that bona fide means good faith. But bona fide means really more than that, and I think that's brought out in the context of this case. It means legitimate.
Well, bona fide is Latin for good faith. And whenever we've used the term,
Honor, certainly. But good faith can also be evident under a lack of good faith can be evident under these circumstances, where an appraiser knows about the existence of coal and doesn't even look at it, does not look at the mining lease, even though he knew that was there.
Am I correct, this is a threshold matter, that this is an issue of fact?
This is an issue of fact, Your Honor.
And so unless there's no evidence to support the factual finding of the trial court, we're not to substitute our judgment for that judgment.
That's exactly correct. And there is ample evidence, and in fact, that was why the parties waited to find the evidence to actually prove it.
Because we need to know what the standard is, don't we?
Let's harmonize the two polar ends of the court. What are the facts of bad faith, of an absence of good faith?
Yes, Your Honor, that the appraiser knew that there was coal on the property but did not consider it or value it at all. And yet we know that had he looked at the plans, he would have seen that this enormous structure included concrete towers that were going to prevent the mining of coal below. And so the property owner completely lost the value of that coal. He also didn't look at the plans. He knew about the existence of a lease, an active lease, which had produced over $1 million of income on the property, and was continuing to provide minimum royalty payments to Mr. Hilton.
With those facts, was there any evidence that he missed that class in appraiser school to look at the coal, or that he said, I know this coal is there, and I want to help Dominion out, and so I'm just going to wink and nod and basically do Mr. Hilton in.
No,
where do you draw those that latter inference?
No, Your Honor, there is no evidence of that, but I think there's something that perhaps is worse, which is the fact that there are uniform standards of appraising that he absolutely knew because he was
or he missed that day in class.
Appraiser. And this is a joint appendix 176. And it requires the appraiser to be competent to do his job, and when he doesn't have the experience and knowledge to do it, he's supposed to acknowledge that fact. He admitted that he was not qualified at all to value coal. So Dominion sent an appraiser, not in Fairfax County, but in Wise County, on as Mr. Hodges has admitted, there's coal everywhere.
But Dominion called up, as I understand it, an appraiser, an appraising firm, and said, we need an appraisal. And the firm sent them this gentleman. And so you're suggesting that what should Dominion have done from the point that they called the firm and they say, we need someone to evaluate land in coal country, and they send them an appraisal. What do they do from that to preclude a finding of bad faith because they get one appraiser in the firm who didn't know you had to look at the coal?
They should have ensured, Your Honor, that it was an appraiser who could do the job competently, and he could not, even as Dominion has admitted through its mining, its own mining expert, and it did not.
The landowner has nothing to do with the selection of an agent by a company.
Not at
it's
all.
It's up to the company to pick agents who are qualified.
That's correct. And that would have been evident to Dominion when it looked at the appraisal report that the coal had not been valued. Dominion's plant for which it needed this power line was a coal-fired plant. There was coal everywhere. And to think that they were not going to pay Mr. Hilton a dime for the coal meant that it did not establish a framework for further negotiations. And that's what this court has said in Baylor.
Or did it mean that they knew or could anticipate that when they got to trial that these would be the issues that would be explored at trial?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I didn't
understand. You're saying they did not establish a framework for negotiations.
Correct.
My question is that they have an appraisal by an appraiser. Is the next logical step that they would anticipate that these other issues would be aired in the trial?
No, Your Honor. I think that they have to comply with their statutory duty to have a bona fide offer. And that is, as this court has said, a conditioned precedent to the court fully adjudicating the case to conclusion.
In Baylor, and I know some of Baylor has been changed by statute, but this particular factor does not have to have been of this particular statement by the court. An offer fixed by a professional appraisal is not frivolous, and that comes from Baylor. Isn't that this case?
It is not, Your Honor, and in Baylor, the only evidence of bad faith was the quantum of the offer itself. We have far more than that in this particular case. I would also note that there have been fairly significant statutory amendments since the time that this court decided Baylor and Herndon that have afforded even greater protections to the property owners in condemnation cases. If this court were to apply the bright line rule that Dominion has suggested, then it would essentially write the bona fide offer requirement out of the statute.
But there's very, very little risk of that, frankly. The tough part about your argument is what the standard is. We all know the facts. We've read the briefs, and you've laid it out really well. But everything turns on the standard. If it is an objective fairness test, you win, in my opinion. If it's a subjective bad faith test, that's the reason this case probably is on appeal to us now, because that's different. There's apparently no evidence of subjective bad faith.
Well, let me try to maybe approach it this way, Your Honor. And I understand your concern is that we're also entitled, because this is a factual issue, to all the inferences from the evidence. And I think there is a very strong inference that can be drawn even from the evidence here. We don't agree it's subjective bad faith as a standard, but that there is subjective bad faith. Now,
flesh that out.
Yes. That from all of this, you can say the utter disregard of the property owner's rights. You're sitting on a coal field. The absolute utter disregard of those rights, I believe, you can draw an inference from that of the type of bad faith that you and Justice Powell are talking about, although we don't believe that that is the standard.
Ms. Monday?
Yes, Your Honor.
I understand he's sitting on a coal field. You've repeated that, excuse me, a number of times. But didn't the court also have to take into account that there were no, as I understand the facts, tell me if I'm wrong, there were no licenses or any surface mining that had been going on at all at the time, or I think it ended in 85, something like that, that the issue of coal mining on the surface was one that simply wasn't in use in this area, and wasn't the type of mining that an appraiser would look around and say, oh yes, there's surface mining here. So that at the time of the take, there were no permits, there wasn't any plan to do any kind of surface mining. And the underground coal mining operation had ceased. It wasn't working anymore. So isn't that part of the fact that the appraiser would have had to take into account in making his appraisal in terms of determining the highest and best use?
Your Honor is correct about those facts, but the appraiser didn't really, he only knew that there was a deep mine lease, and I do want to clarify, the deep mine lease was an active lease at that time. There was a valid permit at that time, and they had mined coal that had produced almost $1 million of income for the property.
But was it currently?
It was not currently being used, Your Honor, but it was an active lease. It was being renewed every year, and Mr. Hilton was still getting minimum royalties from that lease at the very same time, and yet the appraiser did not even go to look at the lease.
And it hadn't been mined, as I recall, since 85.
That was the surface mine, Your Honor.
Okay.
I believe that was the surface mine.
From my education from you in a prior case, the reason they were getting the royalties is because no mining was taking place. Is that correct?
That's correct. Now, Dominion did say, well, the mine had flooded. We dropped a footnote in our brief to the joint appendix site where that's what mines do. They flood from time to time. And in the past, on this very lease, the water had been drawn off and mining had resumed. But that's how mining can work.
Did the trial judge use an objective bad faith test or a subjective bad faith test?
I'm not sure, Your Honor, but I believe that the trial court made it very clear. The trial court made 5 specific fact findings in its orders as to why it did not find this to be a good faith offer, also including something we didn't talk about today, which was the fact that since this had been income-producing property, he didn't apply the methodology for
If we don't know which of the 2 tests he used, he argued for objective, would it make sense for us to, if we were to conclude bad faith was a subjective concept historically and there's no evidence of statute intended to change that, why wouldn't we remand it and say, we don't know what test you use, but here's the test, reconsider the evidence?
Your Honor, obviously, I know that we and the trial court would love to have guidance from this court on the issue, but I think that if this court concludes that there is sufficient evidence to support the trial court's fact findings, no remand would be required to elucidate what particular test would be applicable.
Ms. Monday, there's another issue in this case that hasn't been addressed. What do you say about the 21-day issue and its effect, if any, on the case, including the award of attorney's fees?
The 21-day, you mean?
The fact that the answer was not filed within the 21 days that the statute seems to require.
Your Honor, the trial court actually found as fact that the answer did deny that there was a bona fide offer. There was a specific general denial at Joint Appendix, page 25. I'm not sure that I understand. I'm not aware of any issue being raised that the answer was not timely, though. But
that you didn't raise the jurisdictional issue in the answer, I believe, is what the...
Mm-hmm. Your Honor, the trial court found as fact that we not only raised that issue in the answer, but we sufficiently raised it. And the court will see it at Joint Appendix, page 25. There was a specific denial of the sufficiency of the offer and then a general denial to the offer itself. Now,
I think the position they take is that it was not a contest as to jurisdiction. I don't think it could possibly be subject matter jurisdiction, but it's a form of acquisition of the case. And their argument is that, yes, you objected to the offer as not being bona fide, but Mr. Hilton never objected to jurisdiction.
Your Honor, there was in the complaint a general claim that jurisdiction had been complied with. The jurisdiction of the court is found at 25.1-201, and that says that the circuit court has jurisdiction over the property where it's located. So we did admit that the court
subject,
had...
That's subject matter jurisdiction.
Exactly, and there was no question that it was located there.
Assignment error 2 doesn't relate to subject matter jurisdiction.
Correct.
It relates to essentially waiver is what it amounts to.
And so the admission to jurisdiction in the context of our answer was only to the fact that the court did have jurisdiction to adjudicate this in the sense of it had territorial jurisdiction over the property. But, and as they say, you know, well, it was ambiguous or it was equivocal, there, the trial court said we did sufficiently deny that there was a bona fide offer, and clearly we did. So the admission of jurisdiction does not diminish that at all. That dealt with where the property was located.
And I understand that the trial court found that, but your challenge to the bona fides of the offer seemed to be related to your specific point that it was insufficient, which is not the jurisdictional issue of 213.
Well, Your Honor, I think it absolutely puts everyone on notice that we challenged that this was not a bona fide offer. It is true that we did specifically deny the sufficiency, and then we said we also generally deny the entire allegation. And then much of the discovery that took place concerned the bona fide offer issue itself. That's why we took the deposition of their mining expert and of the appraiser, was to determine the bona fides of the offer.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Otto.
May it please the court, I think it's an overstatement to state that DEPCO's appraiser didn't consider this other land use. He made a recital that Mr. Hilton had said there was coal there. He went around and did his own inspection. He saw the land. He saw what was in the neighborhood. And he concluded the highest and best use was rural, residential, and agricultural. It's true he didn't go into some big analysis of coal, which he was incompetent to do. But he didn't ignore it. There's a difference of opinion. He says the highest and best use is rolling farm and timberland. They say it's a coal mine. He's entitled to that opinion, and it doesn't render this offer not bona fide because he has a different opinion. Now, Justice Kelsey, this issue about subjective, objective is already on the books from this court. In Herndon, the court described the bad faith, which opens this up, as fraud or oppressive conduct. And I don't think anybody could say, and I don't think my opponent is arguing here, if there's any indication of any fraud or oppressive conduct here, even by the appraiser, much less by Dominion, which is really the party.
What do you say about her response to the jurisdictional question that you raised? What is your rebuttal to that?
Your Honor, I'm not, to this day, after all this briefing and argument, I'm not sure exactly what the jurisdictional argument is. At one point, it seemed to be very clear that it was subject matter jurisdiction. And the judge even said that during one of these initial arguments. Then we cited the cases in which this court has said, well, there are different kinds of jurisdiction, not all subject matter, and only subject matter is the one that can be raised at any time. The others are all subject to the usual limits. And in my mind, I'm not sure that the judge ever resolved the issue of if this is not subject matter jurisdiction, why were they allowed to go on year after year litigating just compensation? I disagree that any of this was about the bona fide offer. All the discovery was about just compensation. Why they were allowed to do that year after year without bringing this before the court. All of this could have been avoided. These hundreds of thousands of dollars of legal fees could have been avoided. All they had to say was, we want our day in court on a bona fide offer. Judge maybe would have agreed with it, and we wouldn't have had the tremendous waste and delay.
All right, your time has expired. The court will be adjourned.